Good evening. All right, there it is. Thanks, appreciate it. I had it turned off. Let's rise and share God's Advent peace with one another. God's peace be with you. You may be seated as we begin with our first hymn for tonight. Portions of this hymn, in any event, select verses from hymn 358. God bless your worship this evening. Testament reading chosen for this evening comes to us from the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 10. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though for perhaps a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as you're able, please rise for the reading of the gospel, which is a reading from Matthew, according to the 1st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
You may be seated as we sing.
Thank you.
evening. Our text is a list from Matthew chapter 1, Christ's family tree. Now, preaching from a list can seem like a horrible idea. Over before it starts, a guaranteed sleeper. Thank you for agreeing with me. What do we have here? A list. What kind of, this is the kind that we gloss over when we're reading the scriptures at home. Not a lot of action going on in this portion. But today, foregoing all conventional wisdom, our text is a list. I know. It reads much like a telephone book, for those of you who remember what that is. There are listeners here of a certain age who have no idea that in the times before, in BC times, BC being before a computer, if you wanted somebody's telephone number, you had to look their name up in a big, thick book. I actually tried to find one to show you, and I couldn't locate one. So this reads like a phone book. Wake me up when it's over. But what can this list tell us about Jesus? Our Advent evening series has been focusing on the relationships that we have all around us. So far, we've been in Luke's gospel, hearing about John's parents and hearing about Herod, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John himself and his birth. And today's truth comes to us from Matthew, and the truth here is actually pretty simple. This truth tonight is simply see the truth. It's not always easy to see the truth, and it's not something we often like to even look at, but that's it. Just see the truth. And don't get me wrong, you guys have cute kids and cute grandkids. We saw some cute kids this morning. If you guys have other kids that aren't here tonight in your family, I'm sure they're all beautiful. I'm sure the teenagers in your family are all polite, smart, artistic, talented, good athletes, and solid citizens. I'm not talking about not wanting good things for yourself or for your family. But the fact is, your family's not perfect. While we like to focus on the moments when we're proud of those that we have all around us, what about the times when your family makes you shake your head? I can't believe we're related. After what you just did, I cannot believe you are in the same group as me. You'll never get it right, will you? Do I have to do everything around here? And then the big nail in the coffin, you're not the person I thought you were. In the midst of all of this trauma and all the turmoil, Matthew's genealogy says, see the truth, but then see what God does with it. How does Matthew do it? He does it with a simple list. Let's look at some of this list of Christ's family members. Tamar, dressed like a woman of the night, to trick Judah. And this Tamar and this Judah are in Jesus' family. Tamar dressed like a woman of the night, that's bad enough, but hold on to your hat, because Rahab actually was. That was her job. And how shocking. And yet here she is in the Messiah's family tree. It's bad enough. She was a Canaanite, and Canaanites worshipped all sorts of detestable gods like Baal and Asherah. But in particular, while we're talking about Canaanites, the Moabites, they had the worst. The Moabites had a god named Chemosh who demanded their children. And horror of horrors, Matthew includes a Moabite in this list. Ruth, a Moabite. The title she receives no fewer than six times in the book that bears her name, Ruth the Moabite, who once worshipped Chemosh. Next in line comes Bathsheba, who was an adulteress. This is so unsettling that Matthew can't even bring himself to write her name. Just says, David had Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And David kills him to keep her and to keep the story from getting out. Tamar dresses up wrong. Rahab has the wrong job. Ruth is a Moabite. And then there's David and Bathsheba. That is quite a list of family members. But there's more. And are they any better? Hardly. Solomon broke every commandment in the book, had more people than he could count living in his house. Solomon worshipped a multitude of foreign gods, even conscripted people, forced them to do construction for him. Solomon's son Rehoboam divided the kingdom, split it in two, north to south. And then there was Manasseh. Manasseh filled Jerusalem with blood. And that's not my language. That's 2 Kings 21. It says, Manasseh shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. The family of Jesus Christ. The purpose normally of a genealogy is to give solemn honor to the final descendant. In Matthew's case, Jesus. Why then doesn't he invoke the name of Israel's three lovely matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, who weren't perfect either, but still? And why doesn't he work around and gloss over names like Solomon, Rehoboam, and Manasseh? It's not with glitter and Hollywood glitz that Matthew introduces us to the Savior's family. There's no TV spin. There are no fireworks. There are no fine pedigrees. Rather, it's a bunch of ramshackle relatives at best and killers at worst. So what do you do with your ramshackle relatives? And you've got them. With the neighbors and the coworkers you just can't stand. Let them have it, right? Hold a grudge. Stay bitter. What do you do when you've been the ramshackle relative? Do you deny it? Do you claim that you weren't nearly as bad as the person's making it out to be? They blew it all out of proportion. Either way, whether it's you or whether it's them, walk around with a chip on your shoulder, right? Maybe that's us, but that's not Jesus. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Yahweh, the Lord, saves. And Jesus saves his people. And who are his people? Tamar, who deceived. And Judah went right along. Rahab, who sold herself. Ruth, who grew up worshiping a violent and murderous God. Bathsheba, who left Uriah for David. David, who did worse to keep her. Solomon, who began so good only to finish so bad. And so on. Jesus not only came into a ramshackle family, he also chooses fishermen instead of Pharisees, sinners instead of Sadducees, and harlots instead of Herod. Climactically, Jesus chose thorns for his crown instead of silver and gold. He chose blood instead of the comfort and light that were his due. His choices led to torment and torture and darkness and death. And all of this led to the greatest shock of all. Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Jesus is life, overflowing, overriding death, and making all things new, even your life. So for many, Matthew 1, 1 through 17, reads like a telephone book, containing names nobody cares about. For others, it's a guaranteed sleeper, verses to gloss over when we're reading. But to those of us who know what it's like to be surrounded by imperfection, and who know what it's like to live that out ourselves, Matthew's list means we can let go of false hopes and unrealistic expectations, and we can know that God, in Jesus, replaces them with forgiveness. The worst slate wiped totally clean, a new beginning. That's why Matthew's list, for us and for all of our relationships, means everything. Because that list ultimately leads to Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to rise. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Lowliness of his and made death.
Please rise for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie. And mercy. Into your fatherly guidance we commend our families, our homes, and all of our belongings. Fill our families with your forgiveness.
Pour out your spirit from on high.
Keep far from us, above all else, the blemish of sin, and reign alone in our homes with your holy love, so that we practice every Christian virtue.
Pour out your spirit from on high.
Protect our families from bitterness and revenge, to the end that we live in Christian harmony and hope.
Pour out your spirit from on high.
Watch over all women bearing children, granting them a fervent love for the gift of life. Grant healing to all mothers who have experienced miscarriages and stillbirths, that they may know the comfort of your presence.
Pour out your spirit from on high.
Bless our homes, O God, the Father who created us, O God, the Son who has suffered for us upon the holy cross, and O God, the Holy Spirit, who has sanctified us in baptism.
Father, pour out your Holy Spirit, making our homes peaceful habitations, secure dwellings, and quiet resting places forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. some food. Let's pray for that right now. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord, and enjoy.